Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello, listeners. We're so excited about today's program. So in studio, Robin and I have a woman named Jennifer McNutt, who was highly recommended to me by my husband. He said, she's a must. You've got to have her. You've got to have her. You've got to have her. And he was connecting us. He was trying to connect us via Instagram right before I got vertigo and couldn't look at Instagram. Oh. So he's like, she's wondering where you are. And I'm like, Brian, as soon as the dizziness leaves me, I will get on Instagram and I will make this right, which I'm still taking the dizzy pills right now. But I was so excited, but I got to listen and I got to read The Forgotten Mary, which you wrote, which is highly recommended. We'll talk a little more about that on the second episode. But we've got Jennifer McNutt in studio with us. Now, here's the thing. Jennifer has a lot of accomplishments, but I don't want to talk about that until the end of the program, because sometimes I know you women, I know you listeners. You know why? Because you're just like me. Sometimes when you hear the credentials, you get a little intimidated. But if you meet the person first, you will fall in love. And that's how I felt when I listened to John Dixon's podcast with you and your husband. I was like, I love this woman. I'm already in love. And so it's that laughter. It's your enthusiasm, your passion. So can we talk a little bit about your story? Where did you grow up? What was your home life like? All of that.
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for having me. This is so delightful. I'm so excited to meet you both. So, I'm actually from Southern California.
Yay.
Oh,
so we both. Yes.
I know. So I am from the Pasadena area. My parents' journey really brought them into ministry, into seminary, and they were both coming kind of up from a crisis situation, really hurting, coming to seminary, and they found each other.
Oh.
And got married. And so I like to say I was born at Fuller Seminary. And so my growing up, so I'm a pastor's kid, a double PK. So you probably will resonate with each other
about
the dynamics. Mm-hmm. But I grew up at the church, right? We were at the church all the time. And my parents were in co-ministry together in Sherman Oaks at a Presbyterian church there. And so I saw my mom preaching in ministry one Sunday and then my dad preaching in ministry the next Sunday. And, you know, that's what we knew. So that was a big part of it. And I think my love for theology, for the church, for Jesus all came from, especially just like the dinner table, sitting together, talking about theology, talking about the complexities in the life of the church and ministry, and developing that passion.
Did you have any siblings?
Yes, I have two older brothers. One lives in California, mm-hmm. too. And my middle brother went to Fuller Seminary. And
works.
He's a pastor of my dad's old church. When I was 10, we moved to Texas, Lubbock, Texas, the land of Buddy Holly. And that was quite a change from Los Angeles to Lubbock, but a wonderful place. And that's where my faith in Christ really grew, matured, and where I committed to, and we can talk about that.
But I would love to. Yeah, let's go there right
okay,
now.
Let's go there. Okay, so for me, I had an experience as a child at Southern Baptist Church Camp in New Mexico.
We love that, Cheryl.
We do.
Summer
because you're talking our language.
Moment.
That's us. Oh, how the Lord met us at summer
camp. I love that. Yes, camp is so key. And of course, I don't know a time, I can't remember a time when I didn't know Christ. So always have had a heart for the Lord and wanting to follow the Lord, and have been proud of the ministry that I've gotten to be part of. Because, you know, when you're a PK, the whole ministry is yours, too. And
right.
So, or at least that's how my parents, you know, led us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we were all Sunday school teachers.
Yeah.
All of us. Myself and my siblings, always. I mean, it was just expected. I made my kids be Sunday school teachers, too.
And you know what I'm just going to say is a PK is a preacher's kid because
very good.
Not a PK, but I remember the first time I was around those who were, and they were just PK, PK. And I go, what are you talking about?
Or an MK.
Or an MK.
A missionary kid.
That's right.
MK.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I just interject really quickly? The other day I was thinking, because I was interviewing someone on something else, and we were talking about second culture children.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it dawned on me that I'm a second culture, because I believe if you're raised in the church,
yep,
that you're raised with this one wonderful culture of the kingdom of God.
That's right.
But then you're going to a secular school,
mm-hmm,
and it's not the kingdom of God, and you don't feel totally at home there.
Yeah.
And then you go to church, but there's some people at church even, you're like, wait, you're not really demonstrating the kingdom of God. So you feel kind of in between and betwixt. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's my life experience. And I remember my brother Chuck describing it one time in a book that he wrote. And I was thinking, that's it. That's it. We are.
Here, I thought you were going to say that between California and
Texas.
Lubbock, yeah. That's a second culture.
That is another culture.
It is.
Yeah, that's right.
So you might be a third culture kid.
Yes. How old were you around this time? Junior high yet?
I was 10.
Okay.
Yeah, so I guess it was, the
junior camp.
Fifth grade,
yeah.
Sixth grade.
Yeah.
So I went to camp, and on the last night, we had, there was a bonfire, right?
Yes. Oh, those bonfires.
Scene. And the pastor said, you can just come up if you want to share about what Jesus has been doing in your life this week. And so I just felt compelled to go up, and I actually don't fully remember what I said, but I went up and, was nervous and excited and all that, and just shared about what Jesus was doing that week, and then sat down. And when I sat down, I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit.
I love it.
And the Lord calling me into ministry. And then the pastor was giving us a blessing, benediction, and then ascending. And he read out Matthew 28 and the Great Commission. And I knew that was calling me to proclaim Christ. So I just immediately started weeping, and I said, yes, Lord, I will, I will respond. And I came home and I was like, I was called to ministry. And my parents were like, wait, what? And we'll see. But that moment has had so many ripples throughout my life. It's also grounded me in my sense of calling, even though what I was imagining at that time, at that age, because of what I saw my parents doing, hasn't exactly been what the Lord has called
same
me
script.
To.
Right.
It's still the same mission. So.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's the valuable part about recognizing how the Holy Spirit, we're not too young. My camp moment of campfire going forward the last night, and it was through a Methodist church. They were so organized, we had cards that we could check what our decision was that evening before we professed Jesus before men. That was our opportunity to confess him before men. And I checked on this little card, full-time service. I still have it in my Bible.
Oh, my.
And just like you're saying, those anchor, those seeds that were planted and the anchors that we were led by God to mark those moments. Mm-hmm. Yes, I anchor my life in Christ. He hears us. So I just want to say that, because there might be a parent who's like, yeah, my daughter came home. She's only 9 and she's telling me, okay, that's just let her listen to the Lord and follow his
lead. See what happens.
Yeah.
I know. I believe so strongly in the spiritual lives of our children and want to affirm that and carry that for them because of my experience too. And my mom helped so much with that and believed in that.
Were you at a Christian school or were you at a secular school?
So when we moved to Texas, I was at a public school. So I think what was so surprising was it wasn't my tradition. So a friend invited, I was still the new girl, a friend invited me to go to church camp with her, and being in the other tradition, and I'm a Presbyterian, so grew up in the Presbyterian church and tradition, but just a few years ago, I got to go back to that camp and I led a women's retreat and I got to tell that story and somebody, it was just so amazing just to, I guess it was very encouraging to those that work there.
Oh, like, absolutely.
You never know how it's going to shape.
And a 10-year-old being touched and then returning years later as the main speaker. I mean, nothing. I had my good news teacher come up to me one time when I was teaching and say, I want to know, did I have any part of this? I said, oh, Mrs. Grimshaw, of course you did.
Right.
You know? And so like these people that have spoken into our lives, which are amazing and the ramifications. So when did you start kind of... I want to say setting your course. Like, what was the first step to setting your course to obedience to the Lord, to, you know, fulfilling
in that direction? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know you guys like stories.
We love stories.
I came with some stories.
Yes.
So my mother is just a wonderful believer, follower of the Lord. She became a Christian because somebody, a stranger, put the Good News Bible on her doorstep and she read it in the privacy of her home and, you know, and accepted Christ. So, and because of that moment, like if that hadn't happened, then there are all these reasons why, you know, our life would be completely different. I wouldn't even be here, actually. So thank God for that Bible.
There'd be no meeting at seminary.
That's
definitely.
Right, no seminary. So, but yeah, she's just very attuned to the Lord. And when I was a junior in high school, she had a dream in the middle of the night. And the Lord said to her, Jenny, because I went by Jenny, Jenny is going to college. She needs to go to college. And so she got up in the middle of the night, woke me up and said, I've had a dream from the Lord that you're supposed to go to college. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And, you know, there was a lot going on at that time. But all those things came together for me to go to Westmont. And I actually, so I skipped.
Oh, you went to Westmont.
I skipped my senior year of high school and went to Westmont and, you know, wouldn't have met my husband, wouldn't have my children. Like all of these things had to, you know, have happened because of that.
All the way to Santa Barbara, Montecito.
Yeah, so came back to California for college. My brother was there already and knew I wanted to study religious studies, biblical languages was my concentration, received wonderful mentoring there. I knew I was going to go to seminary. So I was kind of, because of my parents' journey, I already knew so much about seminary. So before I knew what college I was going to go to, I knew I was going to seminary. I'm like, whatever. So it's just incredible education and mentoring that I received there.
So what language did you take in public high school? I'm just curious.
I took French.
Did you? Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Because of...
kind of like Bonjour, Merci Bow Cups.
Well, it's Texas, right?
Yeah, bienvenue.
Yeah,
a little bit of that.
Yeah.
So you met your husband at Westmont?
I did not. No.
Oh.
I met him my first day of seminary. So I went to Princeton Theological Seminary, and my first class. Yes, we saw each other from across the room, and that was. That was pretty much it.
So you knew.
We had a moment of just like connection. I knew he was going to talk to me. And yeah, it was just immediate connection. And he is from Southern California, too. There we are in New Jersey, you know. Mm-hmm. And he went to Pepperdine in Malibu.
Oh, wow. Not too far.
Yeah. So and he was also a religious studies major. And then, you know, we met. It was his last year. And so we dated that time, got engaged my last year and then married in the summer. And then we moved abroad to do doctoral work. So,
And where did you go?
That's
okay. I will put it all together at the end.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes.
So I went to the University of St. Andrews. And the fun thing about that was that.
Well, William and Kate, we just have to
Prince
say
William
that.
William was there. Yes,
he was. Wait, he was there when you were there?
Yes. And Kate, they were both there.
Yes.
That was very fun.
Yes.
I got to see the royal family at different points because they were just visiting him. So that was really neat. But more importantly, importantly, that was not the reason I was
No, but I'm just thinking, but... your coat wardrobe grew from California, Southern California, to Lubbock, Texas, and then Princeton, and then to Scotland.
Scotland is so cold.
Yes, that's right. Then God called me to Chicago.
Okay, so that's how he prepared
you. Now I've really changed.
Yes, very used to the cold. Yes. So now, did you and your husband, did you get married in Texas or California?
We got married in Pennsylvania.
Oh, well, why not?
I mean, mix it up a little.
Well, you know,
I think the pastor's family
moves. You know, we
moved. Too, transition.
So, that's right. So my parents moved to Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh. My dad pastored Mount Lebanon Presbyterian Church there, and we got married in that church. Wonderful. And then they moved to San Diego. So they were in San Diego for a while. And yeah, anyway.
It was so funny. By the time I started kindergarten, I remember here in Newport Beach. I'd gone my first semester of kindergarten out in Corona, California, because my dad had started a church out there, and then we moved here because he took over Calvary Chapel. And I remember the teacher said, "You know, I'm looking, and you've moved quite a bit." And I said, "I knew this. I've moved 6 times and lived in 6 different houses. Somebody said my dad was unstable." It was like, you know, you tell all as a kindergarten. Yeah. You know, my mom was just like horrified. But you know, then we stayed at the same place. You know, for he did almost, I think it was 50 years.
That's amazing.
But you don't expect that because he'd been Foursquare, so he was always being moved.
Yep.
You know, sometimes twice a year, and so that is part of being part of a denomination is they will move you.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
You know,
the pastor's family can be kind of like a military family in that way. Like you get used to being at different schools, different
right.
houses.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So you met your husband. How long did you date again?
It's two and a half years, kind of, you know, finishing up our degrees, and then we're engaged for 7 months or so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you both have, you're dating and you both have this love of theology. Yes. Did you talk theology together?
I still remember when I told, he was like, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, "Well," and in the past when I had shared that, you know, my calling and my sense of, you know, just the Lord's hand on my life, and that hadn't always been so well received.
Right.
So it was, I still remember the moment when I shared with him, like, what I was hoping to do, and he was like, "That sounds wonderful." Mm. And that was really special. Yeah, I was like, so I think for us, it was like we came in with our own vision for ministry and call. And it's like falling in love and committing to one another and getting married. And then to say, this is going to be one vision. And
I love it. Heirs together of the grace of God. I love it. Okay. Well, you know, and let's just talk about that a little bit, because there is a lot of opposition. I had no idea there was any opposition because I grew up during the Jesus Revolution.
Right.
Yeah. And so I had no idea. And Foursquare, coming out of Foursquare.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. You know, so I had no idea. And I remember I went to Christian school 1 year in junior high, and I went to run for ASB president. And they're like, "Oh, a girl can't do it." And I'm like, "What? Why not? You know, I mean, Deborah in the Bible."
Yeah.
And I went and said to my dad, "They said that I can't run for ASB because I'm a girl." And he goes, "What about Deborah?" I'm like, "That's what I said." And he goes, "And what about Golda Meir?" I'm like, "I never even thought of that one. And I don't know how that relates, but okay, let's go there." You know,
I love that.
I mean, he could have said Margaret Thatcher.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like, fine. But I had never realized there was opposition. And I remember dating one boy. I actually did not date him. Let's go on record. I never dated him. He gave me a ride home from church one time, and he said, "Oh, I want to give you a Bible study through Joshua." And I said, "Oh, I love the book of Joshua." And I started to say something, and he goes, "Let the women keep silent." And I was like, you know what? You need to leave my house now. You know, my dad wouldn't like you doing that. Because to find somebody, and let's just talk about this for a second, to find somebody who loves Jesus like you love Jesus, to find somebody who wants to, you know, because Robin knows this too, to find, you know, her husband. And that was part of the attraction for me with Brian, was you love Jesus like I love Jesus. And now you're meeting a man who said, "I love the same things that you love, and I love that you love these things that I love."
Yes. Yes. And I really resonated with what you're saying about your dad, because I was just remembering all the ways that my dad has always encouraged me in my faith and just it, and also in the leadership of the church. My parents tell this story about I was in junior high, I was invited to lead the devotional for youth group, and it was my first time to do it. And, you know, they were like, it was at our house and all the youth group kids were there, and I was, you know, leading this devotional, and they're like listening in the other room. And just, it was just so wonderful to have that encouragement and support. And my dad would always say, well, what about the priesthood of all believers? That's, he would always say that to me. And that doctrine has been critical for.
Well, you know, we've kind of had a split in the Calvaries about this issue, which is so funny because I remember being in high school and my dad asking me to teach at the Thanksgiving service, mm-hmm. which was a big service. And I'm like, typical me, I'm in college. And I said to my dad, I said, well, if I'm going to teach, I need a new dress.
Yes, you do. I love that.
This is my prerequisite. I'm like totally ready to teach and about being thankful and how important that is to the Christian faith.
Yes.
But, you know, I think it's amazing how sometimes your parents see the call before you even see the mm-hmm. call. I mean, they kind of know. And again, your mom just knowing that you're supposed to go straight to college and mm-hmm. Being obedient to that yeah. dream. I just find, because Presbyterians don't usually dream.
Thank you. Yes, this is the strange inconsistency. I know. I love that.
I know. Oh, we Pentecostals, we dream a lot of dreams. You but have, you, Presbyterians.
We really don't. Yeah, as much so.
I love that. So, all right. So you get married. Uh-huh. And he went to Cambridge.
Yes. So we started out, I was pursuing my doctorate first. We thought that it would be best for me to go first because we knew that we wanted to start a family.
Yeah. Aww.
And so, yeah, so it's so great. So we, so that's exactly what we did. So I did my PhD, then we went to Cambridge and he started on his PhD. We had our first child during that time.
In Cambridge?
Yes.
Woo-hoo. I know. It was very fun.
Yes.
The birth certificate is really cool.
I bet. I bet. Yes.
And a free baby because the hospital.
Oh, yes. NHS. Yeah. Yes.
So that was nice.
National Health Service, just yes, so yes. we don't throw out all those little yes, letters. Right. Yeah.
It's not perfect, but that was nice. Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter got married when we lived in England, my oldest daughter. Right. And so her marriage certificate is very nice, too. And she was married by a woman who was the officiant. And then, of course, we went to the house and we did the spiritual one in our home with close friends. But the one that beautiful. Was actually, she got married where, so we're talking royalty,
yeah.
where King Charles and Camilla got married at the register's office in Richmond. So that's kind of fun. Oh, yes, me and the royalties, me and the royals, right? Okay, so we're going to have to wrap up part one, but I really want to get into part two. And I want to talk about, in part two, I want to talk about The Forgotten Mary, the book that you wrote, because it is so good and kind of the inspiration behind that. But I promised my listeners, and listen to this, I had to bring it on my iPad. But I had said earlier to Jennifer, I said, Jennifer, I want these people to know you before they get intimidated by how brilliant you are. So she is
the official
this
biography
is it.
Right
yes.
here. The
this
bio.
Is the Reverend Dr. Jennifer Powell McNutt, and she holds the Durness Chair of Biblical and Theological Studies and is a professor of theology. And I want to talk about just what that means mm-hmm. to have a degree in theology, because it is mighty. And history of Christianity at Wheaton College, Lifton Divinity School. She is an award-winning author and professor and sought-after international speaker on matters of theology, church history, and scripture. And I can see why. She is author of The Mary We Forgot, which is so good. I keep calling it The Forgotten Mary. Forgive me. What the Apostle to the Apostles Can Teach the Church Today. Excellent. Which was the 2025 and Evangelical Christian Publishing Association of the Year finalist. I figured woo-hoo! I'm not going to do any more letters, right? She and her husband serve in the Presbyterian Church and co-founded, I love this, McNutshell Ministries.
So clever.
And I love it that you're together in this.
Yes.
I mean, I just think that's amazing. Again, I recently heard you on John Dixon's podcast, And it was so good as you and your husband were talking on theology and just this meshing, mm-hmm. this shared enthusiasm and love for the Lord, love for ministry. So I want to talk a little bit about that in part two. I knew this was going to be at least a 2-3-parter because of how dynamic you are, how dynamic your life is. And I want to hear what some of your favorite themes are. And I know how excited you get about the early theologians, which really got me inspired. We'll talk about all that in part two. Come back.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.